KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, we have a mostly sunny sky, 0 degrees in Atlantic. We look forward to be partly cloudy today with a high of 31. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News. Officials with the Chi Beta Phi sorority say a $500 Rhian Gruen Memorial Scholarship is awarded annually to an Atlantic High School graduate who has benefited from resource room services in the Atlantic Community School District or is planning a career in education. The scholarship was established by Chi Beta Phi sorority in 2003 as a memorial to their sister, Rhian Gruen. Rhian was an outstanding educator for Atlantic schools, specializing in resource room education. The scholarship in her honor is a tribute to her dedication and continuous love for all students. All graduating seniors or alumni are encouraged to apply for the scholarship. More information can be found on the AHS guidance link on the website, atlanticiaschools.org. Applications must be turned in by March 29th. The Mills County Sheriff's Office yesterday said a woman from Shenandoah was injured during a single vehicle accident that occurred last Friday. In their report, authorities said 68-year-old Ruby Knight of Shenandoah was driving a 2006 Kia eastbound on Highway 34 just before 6 p.m. when the vehicle went out of control due to the slick road conditions. The car crossed the center line of the road and entered the north ditch, where it rolled over and came to rest on its wheels. Knight was transported by Red Oak Rescue to the Red Oak Hospital. Page County Sheriff's Office reports two recent arrests. On Monday, deputies arrested 21-year-old Recto Tupanai of Clarinda. He was taken into custody at the sheriff's office on a Page County warrant for probation violation. Tupanai was unable to post the $3,000 bond and was booked into the Page County Jail, awaiting further court proceedings. A little after 3 a.m. Sunday, Page County Sheriff's deputies responded to a domestic situation at the Clarinda Regional Health Center. And during the investigation, deputies met with a rural Clarinda woman, and it was determined from there that the domestic incident had occurred between 2 and 3 a.m. in rural Clarinda. The investigation also revealed there was a probable cause to reasonably believe an assault had occurred on the woman during the altercation at her residence in rural Clarinda, and deputies were initially unable to locate the suspect, Wyatt Dale Williams, who was the woman's husband. A warrant was later issued for his arrest, and on Monday, Wyatt Williams came to the Page County Sheriff's Office, where he was arrested on a warrant for domestic abuse assault causing bodily injury, serious misdemeanor. Wyatt Williams later posted a $1,000 bond and was released pending further court proceedings. Clarinda Police Chief Keith Brothers yesterday said numerous charges were filed as the result of a pursuit that took place last Friday. Brothers said officers attempted to stop a 2003 Chevy Blazer at 14th and Chestnut Street in Clarinda at around 11 p.m. Friday for failure to use a turn signal and improper license plate lamp. The driver of the vehicle failed to stop and led officers on a pursuit through the east side of Clarinda. The SUV eventually stopped at 1791 Redwood Avenue north of Clarinda. At that time, officers took into custody 58-year-old Keith Clifford Gecker of rural Clarinda following a brief struggle. Gecker has been charged with felony possession of methamphetamine, felony eluding of law enforcement, misdemeanor possession of marijuana, possession of drug paraphernalia, and failure to possess a valid license to operate a motor vehicle. He was transported to the Page County Jail and held on $11,630 bond. The Page County Sheriff's Department assisted in the pursuit and the arrest of Gecker. Audubon Police Chief Matt Starmer yesterday issued a report on arrests. On Sunday, he said 22-year-old Brandon William Henderson of Audubon was arrested for driving with a suspended license and no insurance. On February 12th, a 17-year-old juvenile was referred to juvenile court on a charge of harassment of the second degree. On February 3rd, Audubon Police arrested 28-year-old Scott Nathaniel Ballou of Audubon on a warrant for failure to appear. January 25th, 41-year-old Nathan Allen Kelly of Exira was arrested in Audubon for driving with a suspended license. And on January 19th, 40-year-old Joshua Robert Saunders of Audubon was arrested for violation of a no-contact order. The Guthrie County Sheriff's Office yesterday also released a lengthy report on arrests. Among them, three arrests took place February 15th. Andrew Nelson of Casey was arrested in Casey on an Adair County arrest warrant for probation violation. Nelson was turned over to the Adair County Sheriff's Office. Additional charges are pending in Guthrie County. Jody Griffith and Kevin Trent of Fontenelle were both arrested following a traffic stop Friday in Casey. Griffith and Trent were charged with possession with the intent to deliver methamphetamine greater than 5 grams and possession of drug paraphernalia. Both were held on a bond of $25,300, but later released by the Guthrie County Magistrate on their own recognizance with a promise to appear for future court dates. And Mark Rutherford of Guthrie Center turned himself into the Guthrie County Jail to serve a 3-day minimus for an operating while intoxicated second offense charge. On Thursday, February 14th, Stephanie Cooley of Guthrie Center was transferred to the custody of the Iowa Department of Corrections to serve a 10-year sentence pursuant to a Guthrie County court order for sales of methamphetamine. Also on February 10th, Tristan Carter of Winterset was arrested following a traffic stop in Stewart by the Stewart police. Carter was booked into the Guthrie County Jail on charges of interference with official acts and driving while revoked. He also had a Dallas County warrant at the time of his arrest. Carter was released on his own recognizance by the Guthrie County magistrate on his Guthrie County charges with a promise to appear at future court dates. He was subsequently transported to the Dallas County Sheriff's Office to handle his matter there as well. You can read more about the arrests and the Guthrie County Sheriff's report under the same story on the news page at KJAN.com. And the Pottawatomie County Sheriff's Office yesterday also issued a lengthy report on arrests. Among those arrested, authorities say a traffic stop on a speeding vehicle at around 1:50 a.m. Tuesday on Interstate 29 resulted in the arrest of 45-year-old Jason L. Blobum. He was taken into custody on an Iowa State Patrol warrant for OWI first offense. A man being held in the Cass County Jail was transported to the Pott County Jail Tuesday. 48-year-old David Michael Boggs was wanted on a warrant for violation of parole. 25-year-old Mariah May Dale was transported to the Fremont County Jail to Pott County on Tuesday. She was wanted on warrants for possession of a controlled substance second offense and theft in the fifth degree. And 38-year-old Nicole Ray Ross turned herself into the Pott County Courthouse Tuesday. She was wanted on a warrant for failure to appear on charges that include theft in the third degree, 4 counts of credit card fraud, and 4 counts of forgery, all under $1,000. And she was booked into the Pott County Jail. You can read more under this same story on the news page at KJAN.com. In other news, Iowa State University Extension and Outreach will host a market-ready workshop for area producers in Atlantic next Tuesday. The training is designed to provide local food producers with the skills and knowledge needed to make sound decisions about diversifying operations into wholesale, retail, and institutional market outlets. The workshop will be held from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. at the Cass County Community Center in Atlantic. Pre-registration is required, and the registration deadline is tomorrow. Registration can be done by stopping into the Cass County Extension office, visiting the website www.extension.iastate.edu/Cass, or by calling 712-243-1132. A partial collapse of a roof has forced classes to be canceled at a Waterloo Elementary School. The Waterloo Community School Superintendent Jane Lindeman told the Waterloo Cedar Falls Courier that no one was injured when the roof section buckled Wednesday morning under the weight of the snow at Lowell Elementary. The decision had canceled all classes Wednesday, but Lowell students will be getting today off as well. Lindeman said the district had been monitoring and removing snow as needed, saying the overnight snow certainly came heavier and there was plenty of it. She said district officials will know more today about whether school can be held in the Lowell building on Friday. And snow is now piled everywhere across the state, and that includes on top of our homes. An Iowa State University Extension mechanical engineer says you shouldn't have to worry now about that snow causing the roof to collapse.
There are things to watch for, to be concerned about, but overall, we're not in too bad a shape even yet.
That's Sean Schaus, who says you have to take into consideration the amount of water weight in the snow to determine if it might collapse the roof. You can find out about that by taking a core sample of the snow and melting it.
With the kind of snow density we're having this winter, that's going to be up around 3.5 to 4 feet of snow depth to get to that kind of weight on a roof. Now, if this had been really wet, heavy snow, we could be hitting close to capacity at 2 feet, but so far this winter, the snows have been relatively lightweight, not very dense.
He says one thing to look for is an uneven distribution of the snow.
The roof works best when the load is uniform over the whole roof. If you've got a place where all the snow load is on one side of the roof and the other side is close to bare, that's a little harder for the structure to handle when you get uneven loading. So there could be some situations where there could be some concern.
Icicles have formed along the rain gutters of many homes, and Shell says they're nothing to worry about either.
If the ice gets to be really heavy hanging off the gutter, it might be okay to knock some of that loose if you can safely. But probably that's not a big concern.
When it comes to ice, you do want to be aware of ice that starts to form at the edge of the roof and expands upwards. Those are known as ice dams.
The risk there is it can start to back water up behind that ridge of ice at the edge of the roof, and that water then can kind of work its way underneath shingles and possibly leak into the inside of the roof structure. In really bad cases, it might even drip onto the ceiling inside the house. You may start to see stains of water dripping on the edge of your ceiling.
Shell says you're better off to wait and let Mother Nature melt the snow and ice off your roof than you trying to fix it yourself.
The risk of climbing up on the roof and falling is far greater than the risk of the roof collapsing under snow load. So, yes, it's very hazardous to get up there and try to rake snow off from up above or work on an ice dam on an icy roof.
And he says there is one device that people use on those snowy roofs.
If you have one of those long-handled roof rakes where you can stand on the ground safely out of the way and rake snow off, that's a little bit safer. But even so, I don't know that I would advise doing a lot of that unless you had a really unusual situation where there was uneven loading or an extremely deep drift of snow up there.
Sean Chow says the best thing to do is to talk to a professional who knows how to deal with those issues and avoid injuring yourself. That is a check of our news on KJAN. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.